Blog Talk Radio.
Church's 82nd church's anniversary.
And that was, it was amazing. It was packed. When I tell you, the church was full. The church was so full. It was so full in there. And then we had to serve food at the end and then clean up at the end. So it was definitely a full day. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to make it back home in time to do the show.
Yeah.
So we decided to, you know, just reschedule the show to this week. But we did miss everybody, you know.
Thank
and
the Lord. Amen.
Always a pleasure to be back with everyone. So you guys are missed. It always feels weird at 7 o'clock when 7 o'clock comes and you know that you're programmed to do something and you're not doing it. It just feels weird.
That's right. Absolutely.
But nonetheless, I'm happy, and I'm happy that we're all back together.
Amen.
Amen. Would you like to open up in prayer for us this evening?
Sure, absolutely. Gracious and eternal Father, Lord God, we come to this hour just to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for being with us throughout this day, Father. Thank you for, just allowing us to come to this time, oh, Father God, and a time of worship, a time of praise, oh, Father God, just to give you all the honor and the glory on this day that's rightfully due you. Now, God, we pray that you continue to bless us as we go into this here program, Father God, this ministry, oh, Father God, a spiritual Sunday. Continue to bless the owner, Father God, the CEO, Rich Archibald, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Continue to strengthen him on all sides, oh, Father God, and give him what he stands in need of. Continue to bless the host, Lavina Polite, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Continue to encourage her heart. Continue to uplift her, Father God, as she sets forth to do what you have placed within her hands. And, Father God, we pray that you bless all those that tune in and listen, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether they actively or inactively participate, we just thank God for allowing them to be able to listen, oh, Father God, to be nourished and to be encouraged by Spiritual Sunday. And, Father God, we just pray that you can, first off, Father God, before I forget, forgive us for anything that we may have done from the last time we spoke to you today up until now, Father God, anything that we've done that may have been wrong, Father God, whether it was knowingly or unknowingly, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just ask that you forgive us. And, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this moment. We just pray that you continue to be with us. And this is my humble prayer that I submit to you at this time. In the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Of course, I do thank you. We do have a special guest that's going to be joining us this evening.
Amen.
Mr. Faith Walker, or Brother Walker, welcome to the show.
Praise the Lord. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. Feel like going on. Amen.
Uh-oh.
Amen. Amen. and I'm laughing because I have been humming, you know, the song. Oh, forget it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nah, I've been doing wonderful. It's an honor and privilege to be on your show. Amen. It's just one more game we gather here. How you doing, Minister Weathersby?
All right, sir. How about yourself?
Man, wonderful, wonderful. Amen. And we know he in the midst. Amen. It's always a joyous time when we're able to get together in the name of the Lord.
Amen, amen. And that's the reason
enough
to want to go on.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. So, I mean, I thank God on this week. God has just been showing them. I think my personal testimony is just God has just been showing himself mighty and strong throughout this whole week. I had a court case that was going on this week, and it didn't look right. I think I'm trying to help somebody on this because it didn't look right. And we got to realize when we go through certain situations that your flesh doesn't understand faith. Your flesh doesn't understand wait on the Lord. You know, your flesh wanna be like, man, I wanna come out of this now. You know, I wanna come out of this now. So, you know, but God showed himself up and the power of God just began to move on the courtroom, amen, and I came out in a better situation than I went in because of the power of God and the anointing. And anytime you don't even make it to the judge, that, you know, the folk come up to you and ask you, okay, what you want to do for us? You know, it's just nothing but the power of God. So I thank God on this week.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Hey, look, and my week, let me tell you, oh my God, my week has been stressful, but I've been praying and I've been trusting, and I know that in the end, everything will work out. But I'm just saying that sometimes you go through that, you know, that storm of it just seems like everything is going wrong. You know, everything is going wrong, nothing's going right, and no matter what you do, I had a situation at the job, and with the situation at the job, I'm still waiting to see how that's going to work out. But I know I prayed on it, and I left everything in God's hands, so I know everything was going to be fine. But just like the, you know, when the outcome of your position and where you stand is in someone else's hands, it's kind of tricky. You know, it's kind of tricky, but I said, you know, how deep is my faith is what I'm saying to myself. You know, how deep is my faith at this point? So I'm praying, you know, all works out, you know, but, you know, when you get into situations and things don't necessarily seem right, you know, as Brother Walker said, it didn't seem right when he walked in. It didn't seem right, you know, when I got the phone call that there was a situation, you know, but I'm praying on it. So, of course, you know, Minister Miller will be calling in, and once she calls in, I'm definitely asking for prayer, you know, for myself, and which is something that I don't usually do, you know, but I'm doing it tonight. You know, amen. There's a lot of things that, you know, definitely need to be prayed on, and I've been praying, and, you know, I think prayer is definitely, you know, what I need, you know, with the headache that's been there for 4 days and can't seem to get rid of it and taking so many ibuprofen and still not working. I don't know. No, yeah, so, and I haven't had a migraine, you know, with the headaches I've been having. I haven't had them in years, but the last 4 days, I can tell you the light is killing me, the sun is killing me, everything is just bothering my eyes, you know. So, eventually, you know, I'm going to give myself a couple more days and see how I do, and, you know, if it doesn't get better, then you know, of course, I go to the doctor, but until then, I'm just going to sit and wait and pray on it and hope things get better, you know.
But, well, Sister Lavina, this is what I can tell you, and I'm sure my brother in the ministry, co-laborer in the gospel, my ecclesiastic brother, I know he says he's Faith Walker, but I know he's a minister of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well,
this is nothing but a test. This is a test and trying of your faith. And we know this, that the enemy, anytime that the Lord is moving in our lives spiritually, that's when the attack of the enemy intensifies on us. And I can tell you from experience, and I'll give a brief little account of that a little later on in something that I'm going to do. But God is so awesome that when we put our faith and trust in him, he says, I'll fight your battles.
Yeah.
And he says, no weapons formed against us shall prosper. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I can tell you from my personal experience and what my brother just relayed to us, God can turn a situation around. He takes us, he can confound us with the way he does things. Because any time that you seek him just look to, you know, to put your faith and trust in him, he honors that, and he moves mightily on our behalf. The Bible tells us that when in our weakness, he's made strong. When all else looks like it's failing around us, then it's God's time. It's God's time, and all we have to do is just give it up to him, and he'll move on the situation, and he'll give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. Yes, we're going to be praying for the headaches that, you know, and the things that are going on with that. And if you need to seek medical attention, that we'll be praying for that as well. But we're also going to be praying on the power of God in this regard too, because I know he can give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. And we don't have to be concerned or worried about anything. God is on our side. And like I said, if he be for us, who can be against us?
Well, amen. I just like to add on to what the brother just said. Even when myself, when sickness, disease, or infirmities try to attack the temple, I don't take it as it's just one of those things we go through as human beings. That's not what it's all about, because when you're reborn again, according to John chapter 3, you're born of the Spirit. We're born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. We are reborn. So what we have to do is realize that it's a spiritual attack.
That's a spiritual attack.
The Word of God and God Himself is a spirit. And we know this, that those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So the Word of God, the working power of it, we can't see it in the spiritual realm unless we have those eyes to see it. But we can see the manifestation once we begin to partake and eat of it. The more the Word you eat, the more you become it. So addressing that, to defeat a headache, we have to take the same spiritual antidote to come against that headache in the name of Jesus. And we just take scriptures. That's why he said meditate on this. Don't let the book of this law depart of thy mouth, but meditate on it day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. And you know what? Headaches, they come. But we have to really know that, okay, we have to stand in liberty where Christ has made us free. Made me free from what? The law of sin and death. You know, we have to know when attacks come. Like when colds attack me, I can feel them before they even come. I'm like, okay, one is trying to come. Okay, so now I go and I pray against that thing, because we know we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have authority. We have authority. And if we don't use that authority that we have, then we just sitting there accepting a cold or a symptom that we really wasn't designed to have in the first place. So you have power, woman of God. You just have to use it. You just have to tap into it.
You know, the strange thing is that I was trying to explain, because I work at a psych hospital, and I was trying to explain, like, when it first happened. I said, you have to just, like, stand and you're, like, looking around. Or even if you're sitting and you're looking around and you see, like, these, like, little, like, specks, like, in front of you. And everybody's looking at me like, you crazy. And I'm like, no, I'm not crazy. So I sat down and I just, you know, when I just sat, just put my head down, I covered my eyes. I'm like, all right, it's going to go away. It's going to go away. And then for some reason, it went away. And then next thing you know, as I'm walking, the sex came back. It's like, it's not, you ever look at someone that has like polka dots? You know, it's kind of like if you look at somebody that have polka dots on or a polka dotted like wall or wallpaper or something, you look at it real fast and you turn your head, it's like, and you look, when you look back, it's like you can still like see the sex in your eyes if somebody, like, something just hurt your eyes. It's kind of hard to explain, but it was like I was looking and I seen like the specs in front of me. It was real blurry. So I sat down, checked my blood pressure. Blood pressure was good. You know, my pulse was up really high, but my blood pressure was good. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm good. Drunk some water and, like, pumping myself with fluid, but I'm still seeing the specs. And on top of the specs is, like, the headache from, like, temple to temple. Like, and it's straight across. So everyone's like, okay, maybe it's allergies. I don't have allergies, you know, but okay, I'm going to take that sinus tablet and see if that works. So that didn't work, you know. So I had ibuprofen that I was taking, and I'm like, all right, 800 milligrams. I know this is going to take away the pain. When I tell you the ibuprofen still didn't work, and I took two, so that's 1,600 milligrams, and it didn't work. It didn't even make me sleep. It didn't do anything. So now I know that it has to be something, you know, a tad bit more to it than, you know, but it originally started with the sex.
Yeah.
Like in front of your face, you know, right in front of your eyes. It started with that. So I knew something was going on, but I just couldn't figure out, you know, what exactly was going on. But,
you know, Sister Lavina, this takes us back to what Minister Cheryl Miller spoke on early last month, about casting our cares and burdens at God's feet. And the reason why is that when we're experiencing whatever it is that we're experiencing, and we don't consciously think about the things that really have an impact on us in the way that, you know, that impacts our minds in the way that it does, it actually weighs on us. Some things can weigh on us heavily. And this is when we have to realize that this kind of burden, God ain't meant for us to be carrying around. Nothing should be overweighing our minds and getting us to the state where we become physically sick. And that's what happens. We got to really practice casting our cares and burdens at the Lord's feet. And then when we do that, leave them there. Leave them there. Don't walk away and pick them back up and take them with you. Because all you're doing is you really haven't done anything. So we just have to really be conscious of that. And again, the enemy, like Brother Minister Faith Walker said, this is spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Spiritual. The enemy comes to attack us is in our mind. Bear us out if we don't speak to him. Speak to him not on terms of just the way you and I talk when we're talking with one another. We got to speak to him from the word of God. As Jesus did.
Amen.
When he was in the wilderness, and for 40 days and 40 nights he was being tempted and tried of the devil, that the Spirit of God led him out there to be tried and tempted of the devil. He spoke the word back to the devil when the devil said, we have to do.
Amen. I know, Minister Weathersby, you're going to take over in a minute. We're going to go to a song real fast, and I know we spoke earlier, and I'm definitely ready. You know, so whenever you're ready, we're going to go to a song real fast, and then when we come back, then I'm just going to be quiet and let you and Brother Walker just go ahead. No, I'm going to be here. Just kidding.
All right.
All right, we're going to go to a song real fast, and we'll be right back on the air. Just hold the line.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Lord, I thank you for forgiving me over and over again. Yeah. I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father. I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Lord, I'm in need. I've been messing up, done lost my house, done lost my job. Why walking out? These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. We confess to doing that, and I had no business doing it. No church or nobody. cleaning sometimes, and yeah, I can introduce you to the best cleaner alive. Every now and then we all go through a little strife,
yeah.
But if you let him, he will change your life. And I can hear you saying that life's been rough.
Oh yeah,
you've been going through
a
whole lot of stuff. God specializes in the impossible. Just trust and believe.
Yeah.
His grace is more than enough.
Welcome back to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Is everyone still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Minister Weathersby.
Well, praise the Lord. This is just a little different from what's normally done here on Spiritual Sunday. Messages back with Sister Lavina prior to the time for the show to start, because I hadn't seen any messages on Facebook about that was promoting the show. Then I asked her, and then we were going back and forth, and I told her I was watching this here program on the Word Network where the host had an apostle on, and he was talking about something. He was talking about more or less prosperity. That's what he was talking about. And he called himself the Dream Maker, and he was talking about how he was telling people that he can make your dreams come true. That's the apostle that was speaking, and I was sitting there listening to it, and the crowd was so enthusiastic. They didn't show the crowd, but they were so enthusiastic in their response. They were cheering and clapping, and I'm sitting there listening, and normally I would have just turned away from something like that, but I kept listening, not knowing what God had in store. And I said, you know what, Lord, we're missing the mark here. We're steadily trying to put the for the horse. And God reminded me of a message that I did. It was on an inspirational DVD that happened, oh my God, February 27, 2003, which was 2 days after I had major surgery on my right knee, and I was in the hospital in Woodsboro, Pennsylvania. And I was in a bed on morphine, and I had spoke to someone a week before about doing a videography of the message on video. And as God would have it, it didn't work out the way we had planned. We were going to do it in the studio, but I did it from my hospital bed, laying in there with a morphine drip. And, if anybody knows me, when I minister the Word of God, I do my study, I do my preparation, but I don't script it. I just allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me. So I sat there in that bed, and I just spoke with two scriptures as background scriptures, which are Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And then Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I titled the message, The Rewards of Putting God First. And I just thank the Lord for that, because it's so important for us to understand that, there's nothing wrong with trying to be prosperous and to enjoy the things that can be enjoyed in this life. But God is telling us, and he's speaking to us, and he speaks to us continuously through his word, that we're dying in our sins. If we don't come into a relationship with him, we're dead in our sins already. And if we continue to live the life that we've lived, which is more or less self-gratifying and trying to please our own self, then we're destined for eternal damnation. That's the life that we had. That was the old self. That was the old self that Brother Minister Faith Walker was talking about, because we're new creations, and when you're new creations in Christ, God has given us a new life through the adoption based upon what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary's cross. He died for us. He laid down his life for us, so that we can have be in a right standing relationship with God once again, that we had lost when Adam transgressed in the Garden of Eden, and he allowed us to be able to come into fellowship with God again. He paid the price. He paid the penalty. But God told Adam in Genesis that the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, you will surely die. And there was a twofold death that was involved there. There's a natural death, and that's not the first thing. That's the first thing that people think about. But there's a second death as well, and that was a spiritual death. Adam, when he communed with God in the Garden of Eden, did not commune with him on a face-to-face basis, because the Bible says that no man has ever never seen God. But he was created in the image of God, and the image that Adam had a spirit. And his spirit was pure and holy. It was innocent. And it did no sin. Sin didn't even exist. So he was able to commune with God. He was able to be in God's presence, because the Bible clearly lets us know that if you're operating in darkness, there's no way that you're nowhere, anywhere near God. Mm-hmm. So Adam lost that for us, and Jesus Christ redeemed that for us. And he did that so that we could be in fellowship with God. And clearly, the Word of God is very clear about this. Yes, you can prosper. He wants us to live prosper. He came to Jesus Christ so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. But that abundant life doesn't necessarily mean all the material things of this world, because the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money in and of itself is not bad, but when you love that thing, when you put that thing as your focus, when you start focusing in on trying to attain the riches of this world, what you're doing is that you're telling God that, you know what, God, I ain't really putting no preeminence on you. I'm not concerned primarily about you. I'm just concerned about what I can get in this life. And that's a sad thing for those that are believers in Christ, because our goal is to reach our heavenly home. We're looking to get to a place that's not here. I mean, we're sojourning. We're journeying through this life to reach our heavenly home so that we can be with God in the eternal life, in the life hereafter. And that cannot happen unless you seek him first. But people just say, well, you know, that sounds good, but, you know, I got these ideas. I like to have this. I like to enjoy this. I like to enjoy that. That's all right, but you can't put those things that you enjoy above God and your relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And I'm a witness to it, that when you put God first, he will reward you. I use as an example myself. I've told people many times this testimony. When I was working for the Social Security Administration, I was working in an environment that was really not conducive to somebody like me being successful. Not that I was not just being a Christian, because I wasn't saved all the time I was working with Social Security. I didn't get saved until January 21st, 1996. I'd been working 16 years with the Social Security Administration. But as a black man, that wasn't conducive for me to enjoy the works of my hands. And what I'm meaning is that they didn't promote somebody like me into higher positions or levels of authority, management and supervisory, because that's just not what they did. And so I was in constant battle with the people that I worked with. And right before I got saved, a month and a half before I got saved, a friend of mine was being sexually harassed by the manager and tried to unjustly fire her. I took on representation of her, and I also was dealing with them on an issue that I had. I eventually won my issue first, and then I was working on hers, and we were winning that thing. Then I got saved, and oh my God, with the Word of God, the more and more I started to understand that, the more and more I knew the power that we had, and I kept putting God first in everything, having him order and direct my steps. Well, what happened was one of my friends that I had worked with in the office where this here incidents were occurring, she had went to our regional office in Manhattan and was working in the Equal Employment Opportunity Office as an Equal Employment Opportunity Specialist. And one day she told me, we were talking over the phone, she says, you know, Arthur, the Civil Rights and Equal Opportunity Manager for the region, she speaks very highly of you. I said, really? Well, what does she say? She says, you're a man of integrity. And I told this friend of mine, I said, really? I said, well, let me tell you, when is your position end with them? She was in a developmental program. And I said, when does that end? She told me. I said, when it ends, I'm going to put in for it and I'm going to get it. She looked at me like I was crazy. Because who would think that somebody who's in an adversarial role with the regional office in a department that I'm fighting them on issues related to civil rights and equal opportunity would be in their right mind put me in a developmental program in their office? I told her this. I said, you don't understand. Favor of God. God was just letting me know that this was a position that was open to me, because anytime someone in an adversarial role speaks of you in that manner, saying that you're a man of integrity, I said, that was the Lord just telling me. They'd rather have me on their side than me be against them.
That's right.
And when the position ended, I got it. And I got promoted. I got that position, and 3 months later, I got promoted into a managerial position in an organization that no one knew me in. And within 7 years, I got promoted 4 times.
Mm.
But this is what I'm saying. Every time it happened, I would tell somebody. I said, every time the Lord was elevating me spiritually, he was blessing me in the natural. God is a God of balance. Why it's so important that you put him first. And when you put him first, he will always honor what you do for him, and he will balance it out in the natural. And he will bless you. And I'm very conscious of that. And when I tell people this one, particularly when we're talking about when you refer to Matthew 3:10, where it tells you about when God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you won't have room enough to be able to receive them all, I tell people that you got to make sure you understand this. God does not pour out those blessings if you just live in your life any old kind of way and just think that, you know, that he's a Santa Claus and you just come to him and ask for him to open up a goodie bag. No. Those blessings are based upon what you do for the kingdom work, and those are kingdom blessings. And he will reward you openly when you work for God, when you seek him after him. The Bible says that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. And that means we don't have to be concerned about the things that are in this life, because they're temporal. All those things, those riches, those things that we put great value on, those things are here today and gone tomorrow. I'm so reminded of the recent times of what happened in the latter part of 2008 when we had an economic crisis going on in this country. A lot of people don't know we were in depression state. We were in depression mode. That's how bad the situation was. It was looking like 1929 when the stock market crashed. That's how bad it was. Many people, millions of people, lost all they had with this in 2008 and early part of 2009. All they invested in, everything that they had worked for, gone. Just like that. And that's something that we should be conscious of, because it's not promised. It's not promised that we'll have those things. Yes, it'd be a great joy to have them. We'll be blessed to be able to have them. But it's better that you have Jesus and know him for the pardon of your sins and do those things that God says that are pleasing in his sight. And when you do that, he will reward you for just doing that, for being faithful. He will do that for us, because he's a faithful God. So I just wanted to just share that with people and have them to understand, because we're in the latter days. And people are unfortunately, they're not getting what they should be getting from their spiritual leaders, which is, okay, it's one thing, I can encourage you. I can lift, I can get you all excited and tell you about, God has abundant blessings that are waiting for you. He got blessings untold. I can tell you all of that, but I'd be remiss if I did not tell you that you need to live your life that is pleasing to God. You have to first surrender to him. That's number one. You got to surrender to him. And yes, you can't just do it casually. You can't just do it with lip service, because God tells us straight up, be ye not deceived. He says you will reap what you sow. So we got to be careful about that. Too many of us are giving God lip service and saying that we want to serve him, or that we serve him, or that we accept him as Lord and Savior. But when you accept God as Lord and Savior, then you have to submit your will unto his, and then do those things that please him. Seek him first. That's what he wants. He says, I'm a jealous God. I won't have no other gods besides me. And that's important for us to understand. Those gods he refers to are little G-O-Ds. And they can represent people, places, and things.
Amen.
People, places, and things. we can make little G-O-Ds in our life. And God clearly says, when you do that, you've messed up with me. You've totally messed up with me. And I'm not honoring that. God doesn't bless our mess. Absolutely not. Yeah, he reigns on the just and the unjust, but people have to understand what that's all about as well, too. When we wake up in the morning and the sun is shining, whether you're a saved person or a sinner, you get benefit of that sunshine. That's raining on the just and the unjust. But them blessings that he'll pour out from the windows of heaven, that you won't have room enough to be able to receive them all, everybody's not getting those. Not unless you're living right.
That's right.
Man, you have to live right. And there's rewards to putting God first. I mean, I know we want, we got this thing, we like instant gratification. We like to receive things quick, fast, and in a hurry. We got that kind of a mentality. Our society is geared towards that. But God is, we have to understand, God is, he tells us in the Word that we have to be patient in the race that we run. And those that run that race must run it with the understanding that it's not a sprint. It's some, if anything, you want to look at it, just say it's a marathon or a long distance. Those that endure and endure till the end is what God is looking for. He's not looking for us to get out here and running like we're running 100 meter dash. Because
right.
Some of them that fall off. You know, they start out, they got a great zeal for God, and then something comes along or they feel that, well, you know what, some of us get all self-righteous and think, I done done all that I can do. I done built up enough God points that I don't have to do anything else. I can just sit back and relax. Oh, no, that's not how it works.
Oh,
that's not how it works. God expects us, once we come into a relationship with him, we're in that relationship until he calls us home, and he has an expectation of us in that relationship. We are to, the Bible says that, that we're not saved by work unless we might boast. It's by grace and grace alone that we're saved. But James says this, in the letter, the epistle of James, he says, faith without works is dead. And all that simply means that that our faith, our relationship with God, generates works. And not just any old kind of work, but the works of God, kingdom works. Those things that will edify, uplift, and build the body of Christ. Those are the things that that our faith should generate. And all that means is that we get away and get rid of, as the Bible tells us, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, that old nature of ours, that selfish nature, and we become selfless. And that can only be attained by seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because our selfless nature, the nature that we have, that thing has to be reborn again. God has to go in there with the Holy Spirit, because that's the power and the task the Holy Spirit has been given. He's been given the task of reshaping us into and molding us into what is pleasing to God. And it starts from within. It's not an outside-in job. It's an inside-out. It starts with we have to clean out our hearts. Because the Bible tells us about the heart of man, that thing is so messed up. It's deceitful and wicked in all its ways. The very thoughts of man are based upon wickedness, according to what the Bible says about our heart. But we're quick to say, God knows my heart. I'm telling people very, very succinctly, listen, when you say that, make sure that your heart is in the right place.
Exactly.
If it's not in God, then your heart, that heart of yours, that thing, I got to watch you. Because your only concern is about you, and for the most part, you'll do anything to ensure that you are taken care of. You'll step on people, you'll step over people, you'll lie about people, you'll scandalize people, you'll hurt people. But that cannot be said of folks that are in Christ, because the love of God, which is unconditional, is agape love. It does not hurt. It does not injure people. But the love of man, that thing is... it's wishy-washy. You know, one minute I love you, the next minute I'm talking about I hate you. Just that.
You know what, brother? I'm just going to step on in here. Because I was just enjoying you at the same time. So I salute you, my brother in Christ. Amen. Anything I say about anybody, this is the way I roll. Even the people I don't associate with right now, is that I have to be so full of the Holy Ghost, I have to be able to identify with the anointing. Either they're a people of God or they're not. okay? And if they're a person of God, maybe they're just in a moment where they're not in the spirit and they're yielding to the lust of their flesh. So anybody that I personally ever called in the past and said, okay, they are a man of God or they're a woman of God, that don't change because I don't associate them with no more. Because if I say I don't associate with an individual, but yet in the past I've called them a man of God or a woman of God, that's saying that, okay, my eyesight is not correct. I think the thing we have to realize is that crisis, they're not only a Christ of crisis. We have to have enough anointing, enough Holy Ghost to be able to identify when a person is going through a cross experience and they're going through a crossing experience.
Mm.
Okay. We have to realize that an individual, they could be, you see, Christ said in, I believe, the 16th chapter of Matthew's, where he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself.
Right.
Take up his cross. So
right.
if you look at it from a perspective, if you look at the Gospels, the death, the persecution of Christ, he was lied on, he was talked about, he was hit upside his head, he had his beard pulled, he was smoted, he was spat on, he did all these things. So now Christ comes along, the Apostle Peter, he says, any man who come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross. So that lets us know that we all have a cross to take up. So once we take up our own cross, now once we have died to self, once we got to that low place, and you know, ain't it funny that people can't hear God when they got a pocket full of money, but when they get broke, busted, and disgusted, you can hear God pretty doggone clear then. Oh, you can hear God. You never hear God when all your family reunion, you had the family reunion, but ain't when the Pookie died, you were just crying your eyes out, and you were just saying, God, oh, God, God. And you'd be like, oh, I could just feel the love of God so strong now. Why? Because the heart now has been broken. The heart has now been broken and is sensitive. That's why he said in the book of Jeremiah, he wants to take out the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. So once that heart of flesh comes in, we can become sensitive to the things of God. We become sensitive to the voice of God. And then we can know how to minister into the lives of others. I believe Minister Weathersby, I was just listening to the Spirit of God just now, because he said that a lot of people, they talking about they want God, but they don't want to give up some things. They don't want to give up some things. But Paul said in Timothy, he told Timothy, he said, the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap themselves teachers having itchy ears. And so we are living in a time now, the preachers, they're not preaching from the Bible no more. They're just walking the pulpit.
Right.
They're just walking, say, look at me. I got the theological degrees. I got my MD, BD. I got my DD, divinity. I have all these wonderful things. Now you got so puffed up in knowledge of doctrines of men and seducing spirits. Now you're not even hearing from God. You're coming from the book of yourself, reasoning and knowledge. And this is why God wants us to stay away. Now, I don't knock a person who going to school in theological school. God bless you. But it should not never override the Spirit of the living God. It should never override the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because he said if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are sons of God. He said if you have received them, you are sons of God. So we have to be led by the anointing. We have to be led. See, we have to go where we're anointed to go. He said that we should be a testimony. We testify to people about the goodness of Jesus Christ. I just can't step out on any block. I have to be sure I'm anointed to go to that block. Otherwise,
right.
I'm going to be coming against some spirits that I'm not anointed to go against.
Exactly.
That's why we have all these functions operating in the body of Christ. This is why we have all these different parts in the body of Christ. Because I can't pick up a glass of water with my foot.
That's right.
I can't kick a ball with my fist.
Uh-huh.
See, we have to recognize what our mission is, what the people we're sent to.
That's right.
The devil, he'll have you operating out of your calling. You know, saying he might give you a title like, oh, okay, well, I'm called to be a pastor.
Right.
Okay. Okay, but he'll have you operating as a prophet, and you get caught up in the title. You get caught up in the title, and you don't got no power there. The power is in your pastoral. That's where
right.
you can operate in the fire of the anointing. But
that's
you can't
right.
operate in that anointing if you're taking on a title. That's why he said, make your calling and your election sure.
Amen.
You got to, we have
Amen.
Got to make it sure. So I just wanted to add on, and you were saying about Adam in the garden. God just, he said, Adam, where art thou? Can you identify where you at, Adam? that dominion, you think you got dominion now? No, you don't have dominion no more. It's been some stuff screwed up in the spiritual realm. Can you discern that, Adam?
That's
and
right.
God is saying the same thing right now. Because the enemy, when he came to the woman, he said, yea, had God said. So now you look in 2013, we're faced with the same opposition. The enemy is asking the people of God, had God say. And we can't tell the enemy what God said because we're not studying God's word to see what God has said. And we can't even pray to God to see what he's saying right now.
Absolutely.
So the enemy is saying the same thing as always.
And absolutely. And here's a great illustration of the danger of what happens when we start to put preeminence on other things other than God. In the Bible, in the chapter of in the gospel according to, or as ascribed by, I like to say, Matthew, in the 19th chapter, from the 16th to the 22nd verse, but I'm only going to go from the 18th to the 22nd verse when Jesus was talking to this young man who came to him. And, you know, he got real smart in how he was dealing with Jesus and sometimes folks try to play us in the way they come to us. So he said, you know, teacher, what excellent and perfectly and essentially good deed must I do to possess eternal life? Actually, that's from verse 16. I might as well go from there. And he said to him, why do you ask me about the perfectly and essentially good? There is only one who is good and perfectly and essentially good, God. If you would enter into the life, you must continually keep the commandments. He said to him, what sort of commandments? That's the young man. Or which ones? And Jesus answered, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witnesses. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. The young man said, I have observed all of these from my youth. What still do I lack? Jesus answered him and said, if you would be perfect, that is, have that spiritually maturity which accompanies self-sacrificing character, contrary to what he had exhibited thus far, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven, and come, be my disciple, side with my party, and follow me. But
all right,
the young man heard this. He went away sad, grieved, and in much distress, for he had great possessions. This is the danger of what happens to us when we start focusing on those things that we can attain in this life, those things that we can possess. Here's a young man who, when Jesus was talking to him about what he needed to do, he responded back with a self-righteous type of attitude. Well, I've done that since I was young. Are you kidding me? Are you trying to tell me you kept all the commandments since you were young? You ain't never sinned against God since you were in your youth? That's just
come
not
on
true.
Now.
That's just not true. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Yes,
but
yes.
Our nature is sin. The nature of man outside of Jesus Christ is sinful. It does not desire the things of God. It don't have nothing to do with God. It doesn't care about God. It only cares about self, me, myself, and I. And that's the danger of what happens when we get into that mindset, when we start looking at those things that we possess. Because that's all about me, myself, and I. And
right.
This young man, now, understand this, so people don't get crazy. And Jesus told the young man to go sell all that he has and give to the poor. God is not asking us to be paupers. He's not asking us to be paupers. But what he is asking of us, he's asking of us to get rid of your selfish nature.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Get rid of that. And then you have to submit to the will of God, which is selfless, and then think. But the young man and we today, we look at that and say, oh, my, are you kidding me? That's you're asking too much. That's way too much. Does it take all of that? Yes, it does. Because if you're selfish, there's no way that you can follow God, that you have a willingness to follow Christ. Again, our nature says it's all about me. Jesus in relationship with Christ and being selfless, saying that, you know what, it's not about me. It's about God first.
Right.
It's about Him and trusting in Him, putting our faith in Him, and submitting ourselves over to Him from coming from a state of mind of being independent to being dependent upon Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not. And then all your ways, you got to acknowledge Him and let Him direct your path. That's what He says. And that's the difficulty that we have, because we're not willing to submit to ourselves in that manner. And when we teach the people in the church about seeking those things that can benefit them in this life, we're doing them a grave disservice. And be mindful of this. God is going to hold those that do that in account for this. Because if any souls are lost because of the teaching that we're giving up to folks only because we're trying to appease them and please them, then guess what? You're going to have to pay. As one that had responsibility, as who was given responsibility for teaching someone, God, I mean, that's a grave responsibility that you have, to teach and preach the word of God. And we should do it in a manner that we don't. The reason why Jesus has not come back thus far, the Bible talks about it in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, that God is long-suffering. He does not wish that anybody would perish and be unsaved. And anyway, when we look at time, we're looking at it from the idea of the way we see time. But the way God sees it is totally different. The Bible says a day unto God is like 1,000 days. So in accordance to the way God may be looking at time, it's only 2 days since Jesus ascended back up into heaven. 2 days since he ascended back up into heaven. So he's long-suffering so that we can all come into knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and put our emphasis on seeking him as opposed to seeking the things of this world that can profit you none in life and in whole, because those things are temporal. They will fade away, and they can be taken away from you in the instant of an eye. But once you come into a salvation with the Lord, he says this, I will seal you. The Holy Spirit will seal you until the day of redemption. You stay in me. If you abide in me and I abide in you, then, you can't be separated from me.
That's right.
You cannot be separated from him if you abide within him and if you live according to the way he says we should live. Because there are many that, you know, they talk the talk, but they ain't walking the walk.
Right. But don't you think that is part of the problem, that there is so many people that, you know, proclaim to be, you know, living Christ-like and doing the right thing and, you know, making statements like, oh, well, God knows my heart. But if you don't know your heart, what do you think God is saying? You know, he's not saying, okay, well, your heart's not clean, your heart's not pure. You know, he already knows this is what you're supposed to do. So if you choose to do something different, then that's on you. But there's a consequence for everything, and I think that there's so many people out there that do proclaim to, God knows my heart. Okay, but what about your actions? What about what you're showing, you know, people? If you're showing people one thing, but yet you're proclaiming that God knows my heart, come on, that doesn't make sense.
That's
you
right.
Know,
that's...
You need that, you know, that cleansing of your heart, that cleansing of your mind. You know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people need that, and when we walk around and, you know, and you speak to different people, and only thing that, like, truly, like, bothers me from time to time is, you know, you can see someone and you can speak to someone and you can know that, okay, this person, this is my brother, this is a woman of God, this is a man of God. And then as you sit and you talk to them and they say all these things that you're just looking at them like, okay, something's not right here.
Right.
You know, something's not right. Like, I hear what you're saying. I believe me, I hear you. But then at the end of the sentence, you can't possibly tell me that God knows your heart when at the same time you're doing X, Y, and Z.
Absolutely.
Proclaiming to be something that technically you're not, or not saying that they're not, it's just that they're not there yet.
There's no consistency. And the Bible calls it conversion. They haven't yet to be fully converted. In Romans 8, and particularly that first verse, and I love the way the Amplified Bible just brings this out. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. And here's the part that people miss. Who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. They catch that first part. There's no condemnation or no judging of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. But that ain't the end of it. Who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Because God, this is what God is saying to us. Clearly, and we got this thing as well when we talk about how we end up falling short and doing and allowing the our flesh to tempt us and move us to act upon that temptation and sin. You know, we'll say, well, you know, I'm only human. and I'm not perfect. That's all well and good, but that's no revelation to God. He knows we're not perfect. We're imperfect beings. He knows that about us. We're not telling God nothing new. God already had, he already pre-knew that. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a task, a assignment given to him that what he has to do is to lead us into all paths of truth and righteousness, and he will perfect us, complete us in the works of God.
Right.
We have to yield to it, though. That's the problem, and a lot of people are not willing to yield. We'll give up some stuff. I like Bishop Noel Jones one time. He was talking about something or another, and he said about somebody was talking about, well, I thank God that I don't do this or I don't do that. I don't do this and I don't do that. And there's a story in the Bible about a Pharisee saying something about that as well. Bishop Noel Jones said, well, yeah, why don't you talk about that stuff that you do? Because you ain't talking about it. It ain't nothing for us to say that I don't do certain things or do this, that, and the other if that was never a problem for us.
Exactly.
Never a problem for us from the beginning. But what about that stuff that you do that you've yet to be delivered from, that you've yet to turn it over to God? Because salvation, God is a complete God. At the point of salvation, we have the ability to be totally delivered from everything that has us bound. Everything that has us bound, because God is, he has that kind of power. And that was illustrated when the example that he gave for his friend Lazarus, who was buried and then, you know, was believed dead, although Jesus said his sickness was not unto death. And when they brought him out of the grave, Jesus called him out. Jesus called him out of the grave and called his name one time, and Lazarus came forth. The right Lazarus came forth, because this is a common name. It's like John or Michael. But God knows us. He knows us personally. And he says this: my sheep know my voice. When they hear my voice, they come. He called Lazarus out of the grave. Lazarus came forth. Jesus looked at him and said, loose him. He was bound because the Jewish custom was they mummified their dead. They mummified them. They wrapped them up in cloth, and he was bound up. Jesus looked at him and said, loose him. He saved them out. He saved them up out of the dead, because the Bible tells us that when Jesus came and died for us, he came and died for us to save us from the dictates of sin and death. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the word of God says we're to walk in that light. That's what it says here as further on goes into Romans 8. It tells us that we have to live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. And when you do that, then we heal. Like Brother Minister said, heal. That's when we are known as sons of God. Not by what we say. No.
Mm-hmm.
But how we live, how we walk, and that can only be done when you yield over to the Spirit and seek God first. Seek him first, because there's no other way that it's going to get done. You're not going to do it on your own. You know, that's self-righteousness, and I'm so sorry. I don't care. I tell this to a lot of people, because I know, and particularly I tell this to older seniors, because I know there's been a teaching and something they've grown up with, about being a good person, and we may have heard it too when we were growing up. You know, be a good person. You be a good person, and you know, that's all you really have to do in this life. No, God, no. It's good that you're a good person, but let me tell you, Jesus told Nicodemus in John the third chapter that unless you be born again of the Spirit and the water, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And then he further said that, you know what? No man cometh to the Father unless you come through me, because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So you can't be walking around here thinking your goodness is going to get you in. That's faith. That's a salvation by work. And I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. I don't care how many good deeds you do. I don't care. You know, we got a lot of folks out here doing a lot of philanthropy. They're giving money to the poor. Donating to charities. Famous folk running around here adopting impoverished, needy children. That's all well and good, and that may give you favor with man, but unless you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, confess and repent of your sins, you're not saved, and you will not be in the kingdom, you will be spending eternity in eternal damnation with the one that place was designed for. He ain't ruling down there. Satan is the primary guest of hell.
Amen.
What we're going to do, we're just going to go to a song real fast, and we're going to come back on and open up the phone line. The number call is 646-238-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to share your testimony, say what you're thankful for, or just talk about the topic that we're discussing tonight. We're going to go to a song and come right back. Amen.
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 The day is past and darkness comes to settle in you. Confusion rose in like a fog, and I can't see my way. Now doubt believes it can make my faith seem paper thin. The peace and joy that I've known has been replaced. This time with tears of sadness, the midnight for the day. Sorrow instead of gladness, but with all that is in me, I still say that I will.
gonna praise him for a minute if we can. When you
pray,
when you pray, there should be a fire in your heart and your rage. When you pray, consuming every part, because you know the God is there to make his presence known. When we think about
how wonderful and merciful and kind
our God has been to us, then we know
every glory, hallelujah,
GQ Power Spiritual Sundays. Everyone still there?
Yes, I am.
Amen.
All right. Amen. We're just going to bring on Minister Cheryl Miller. Minister Miller, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How's everything?
Everything's pretty good. I just thank God for just as many blessings that he continues to bestow upon me. And my family had a good time at church today and fellowship with two of my good friends. We went out this evening. That's why I didn't call in too late. But I just thank God just for all that he does and continue to do for me. And God bless you, Minister Weathersby. God bless you, Faith Walker. And, of course, Sister Lavina Polite. Definitely you always remain in my prayers, and I'm just grateful to be a part of this wonderful radio station and to be able to lift up the name of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And of course, I was just Minister Weathersby. I was just explaining to her that just, you know, doing like a briefing of what we were talking about and everything, and I told her that you were referring to Proverbs 3:5-6. And when I tell you, when I spoke to Minister Weathersby, he went, when I tell, all over. We went to Romans, we went to Matthew, we went all over tonight. And when I tell you,
That's all right.
When I spoke to him beforehand, I was like, I'm ready. I'm ready. And I was just sitting back, just reading, just following everything, and God is good. God is
definitely good. And and that's a blessing. I was sharing with Sister Polite that's our series on Bible study is Proverbs. You said it was Proverbs 3?
3, 5, and 6.
Yes, that's what we're studying for Bible study. We just started the series last Wednesday, and I was able to write a whole lot of notes and learn a lot about trusting in the Lord. It's so important as believers in Christ. We have to understand that we don't just go through things just to be going through them. Once we trust in God, it allows our faith to increase. And then God is able to really open up doors and prove himself mighty on our behalf if we just trust in him and not lean into our own understanding. As the Bible says that our ways and thoughts are not like his. And that's one thing that I have to remember when I'm going through situations. I went through a situation at my job, and I just really didn't understand it. But I began to just say, God, I trust you. Because, God, maybe you're just trying to build character in me as a believer in Christ. So I'm learning as well to trust in the Lord when situations come, realizing that God already is working everything out for my good because he knows what's best for us. Even when situations come and we don't want to go through them, we just have to trust God's plan for our life, like the Bible says, for he knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us, thoughts of peace and not of evil, but to give us an expected end. We have to trust God and believe and know that there's an expected end waiting for us.
Amen. I think for a lot of us, that's a struggle, you know, we have. Learning to, trust. And sometimes it seems like, we don't know the outcome, of things. But if we just trust in the Lord with everything, then the outcome is going to be the way he has designed it to be. And me personally, I'm definitely one that, that goes through that, a lot.
Me too.
A lot. And, I always say it's sad to say, but I go through it a lot because you get to a point where you start to, get to different challenges, in your life, and you're not used to those challenges, but you know that it's an elevation up. It's not keeping you stagnant. It's not keeping you the way you were before. It's an elevation, but it's an elevation in the next level, and you wouldn't elevate to the next level if God didn't approve it and if that wasn't part of the steps that he's ordered for you.
Amen. So that's an excellent point.
Amen. And God gives us an assurance, that even what we're faced with and what we're dealing with, what we're going through, he's already worked it out. And he's worked it out for our good. That's where Romans 8:28 comes in. Because when we understand all things work together for good, for them that love the Lord are called according to his purposes. It doesn't matter what type of things that we go through in this life, God has worked it out. And I have that faith. I have that assurance that he's worked it out for my good. I may not like it.
Amen.
It may not feel good, but I'm trusting in God. That's where Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for me. Every time I hear Minister Cheryl talk about that, because she does from the very first time she came on, she talked about the third chapter, the fifth through the sixth verse. That's my foundational scripture for the faith, for me, to understand.
Man.
What I need to know to be in the faith with God. I have to put my trust in him with all of my heart and lean not into my own understanding, the way that I think that things should be going or how I can figure things out. Because, we like to think, because sometimes we'll think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. God gives us a little measure of intelligence, and we go running off like we're the smartest thing walking around here in the kitchen.
So true, so true.
That's what we believe. We kind of keeping ourselves to a degree, but God said no. Don't lean on that. Because I got a different type of way of looking at things. I'm looking. You can only see so far. We can only see so far. God sees from here through eternity. The Bible says he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Time and us exist in between God. That's why it's important that we put our trust in him, because he's a God that cares for us. I mean, my God, he couldn't have exhibited that anymore. The greatest gift that's been known, that's been given unto us, is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I tell people, you know what? That's the only gift that I know that keeps on giving. Because even after Jesus was crucified and laid down his life and went to the grave, God the Father raised him up from the dead. And then once he ascended into heaven, he sent forth himself again in the person of the Holy Spirit. Continually is with us until God calls us home. It's the gift that keeps on giving. But we got to put our faith and trust in him. Not in ourselves or anybody else or our possessions or, you know, things. You know, it's important that we really put a focus in on God and learn his ways and make ourselves, allow the Holy Spirit do what it does. I mean, it can transform us. I mean, the Bible tells us that we got to go through a transformation process. We got to have a heart transplant first, because he got to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Then he has to transform our mind.
Yes. Amen.
And let that mind be in us that is also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Absolutely right. And what would you say to someone that is fighting, you know, with, you know, cleansing their heart and cleansing their mind, but at the same time they're saying that they trust in the Lord. You know, they trust the Lord with all their might. What would you say to someone in that situation?
Real simple. I have this here little saying on this here cap that I have when I went to see this here gospel play that was done by this church in Mount Carmel, New Jersey. Let go and let God. It's real simple. Let go and let God. Can't do it. Do it on our own. But he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, and yet which we can either hope or imagine. And we have to let go and let God. It's his work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that needs to be done. We can't do it. We can't do the work of God. We cannot.
Amen. And another question for all of the, you know, spiritual leaders. Out of your testimonies that you have, you know, shared in your life, you know, your own personal testimony, what could you say about your testimony that could save, you know, the next person or another caller? Because we do have a lot of callers that are listening tonight, and I do want them not only to take, you know, and enjoy the whole show, but I also want them to realize that, you know, when we all come together, we all share our testimony, and sometimes, you know, some of us share our testimony, you know, our long-term testimony to bring us to where we are now, and some of us just share what we're thankful for, you know. So what you're thankful for or your testimony, what would you say to someone else that would help them, that would encourage them?
Well, I know what I would say. I know what I would say is just to increase in your prayer life. And the Bible said desire to prophesy above all these things. Rather than just speaking in tongues. You know, we go into service, you know, you see a lot of things going on in services and things like that. But the people of God has got to have more discernment now than ever before in their walk with God. You look on the TV, you see murderers, you see all kind of things going on in the world. But I think we forget that as the world gets more wicked, the power of God is just as strong, even stronger, I might add. But we have to be in a place of prayer, consecration, supplication unto God to get that level of anointing that is required to defeat those Goliaths in our life. So I think the thing that I would say to a person that is struggling right now, prayer, word, fasting. Don't watch what everybody else is doing, but do like what the Bible says. Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling, because you can focus on what's wrong for so long, and then you begin to release some things that'll begin to attack some areas of your life. So just when you see there's famine, destruction, perilous times going on, you just begin to speak blessings, because you say, I'm anointed by God. So I am anointed by God to speak to where there's famine. I'm going to release refreshment. I'm going to release all those things. And then, you know, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. But just stay real with God and know that there's no, like Minister Weathersby said, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you, be important to just walk in the Spirit of God. And don't worry about who's in the church, who's been doing this for this long. You worry about your walk with God. You know, and I think there's a lot of times you just have to make sure you have the Spirit of God, and that when you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that your heart is lining up to what you're saying. Because when you know better, you do better. You
right.
do better. And I'm doing better not because I have the head knowledge, but because I have something on the inside working itself on the outside. And as it works itself out on the outside, that's a sanctification process. But
yes.
that's the process that I have to line my walk up with. I have to line my life up with that sanctification process. And then it'll just work itself out. But we have to be submitting onto that in Jesus'
yes.
name.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome and powerful, Brother Minister. And that's important for people to understand, because personal relationship that you desire with the Lord, He desires with us. My greatest testimony that I tell people is that, you know what, sometimes people will look at us in our situation and in our circumstance, and they say, well, you know what, you should be saved, or you should have been saved a long time ago, and we'll do that to ourselves. But I tell people this: when God calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light is when you're supposed to be called out into his marvelous light. I did not get saved until I was 43 years old. But
well,
once He
God.
Called me, I acknowledged Him calling me, and I didn't try to come in there with my own understanding and my own whatever I brought to that process, because I knew that I was messed up. I was a good person. I was doing good things. I've always done good things for people. But, you know, as I said before, my goodness could not get me into heaven. It could not get me into a right standing relationship with God. Well, I tell people, don't beat up on yourself about when you get saved or the fact that you're not saved yet. First off, don't think that you can do it on your own. But when God is ready to bring you in, He'll bring you in. And when you hear the Word of God being spoken to you, either spoken to you or you read it, don't harden your heart. Allow the Lord to work on you and speak to you, and He'll draw you in at the appropriate time, and then trust Him. Because I tell people, this is another message that God gave me some years back from Psalm 51. God's mercy is greater than our sin.
Amen. Minister Miller, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am. I was just listening to everybody. As far as the testimony I can give, to let just encourage people and let them know, I believe that both of the leaders, they really hit on really what I wanted to say. So I don't really have much to say, but just to say, I'm just grateful to the Lord just for Him loving me in spite of, you know, growing up. You know, I went through a lot of stuff as a child and just didn't understand why I was going through what I was going through. And I questioned God a lot. I thank God I got saved at the age of 15. And I didn't always do the right thing, but I just thank God for saving me at a young age, because He really protected me and He shielded me from a lot of stuff that could have occurred to me if I wasn't living right. I just want to encourage the young people out there mainly and let them know that they are not too young to get it right with God. There's peer pressure all over the world. You know, young people are being pressured to do this and to do that, but I just tell young people and adults alike that when you feel God tugging at your heart, let God do what only He can do. Let Him do a work in your life, because He's the only one that can help us. And like Minister Weatherby was saying, you know, growing up, I wasn't a bad kid, but I was messed up. I had issues. I had things going on in my life that I wasn't proud of. But once I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, He began to really make me and mold me into what I need to be. So I just encourage anybody, in order for you to really succeed and be successful, is having God in your life. He will open up doors and He will make ways for you that no man can be able to shut or open. And it is important as we live life, to please the Lord, it is important to have a prayer life and to stay consistent in the Word of God. It's important, as the other brother said, is don't look at what other people are doing, but it's important for us to concentrate on ourselves so that we can be effective for the kingdom of God. It's not about pointing fingers. It's not about competition, but it's all about living a life to please the Lord. It's important. This is the day and the time we're living in. So much is going on, and God is raising up people of God who are sincere and honest and desire to do his work, because any day he is coming back, and it should be our prayer that we will want to go back with him. He said that I live, that he blesses me to live. I just desire to please him, be effective. I don't want to waste time. I don't just want to exist. But it is my prayer that each and every day that I am leaving a legacy behind so that somebody can be encouraged, somebody can be touched, somebody can be strengthened. I just, you know, just thank God for loving me at such a young age, for coming into my life at such a young age, for seeing the best in me at a young age, and helping me in this journey. I'm grateful that I just did not stray away from him, but he has helped me to almost be 30 years old and still have a love for him. It's amazing. I'm grateful for the fact that he has blessed me at my young age to be able to touch people who are older than me, to just be a blessing to. So I just encourage those out there who are striving to live holy, young people, older people, continue to stay consistent and understand that your labor is not in vain. Let us continue to help one another, because we definitely need each other to survive.
Amen. Amen. And, wow, I must say, these answers will definitely encourage someone, and it will definitely save someone, you know, who has a similar testimony or who's going through something and questioning, you know, what their way about are right now. I think it's important that, you know, we do share, you know, our testimonies or just what we're thankful for and share our struggles. You know, me, I'm going to answer the question as well, and I'm going to say that from a young age, you know, from a young age, a lot of us didn't really, I'm going to say me, myself, didn't really understand God and why certain things, you know, happen, and why is this happening and why is that happening. So once you're younger, you tend to question God a lot more, you know, mm-hmm. because you don't really understand it. You know that you're made to go to church every single Sunday. You know that you're made to go, but, you know, some of us at a young age, we weren't really paying attention. You know, we were playing around at church and, you know, we weren't sitting down and listening to everything that's going on. You know, and I'm going to say that from a young age, and my mom will tell anyone, oh, you were saved a long time ago. You know, that's her thing. You know, you were saved a long time ago. And I said, I couldn't have been. You know, I couldn't have been. There's no way I could have been saved. You know, but once because I didn't understand it, so because I didn't understand it, I didn't accept it. You know, right. I was still, now I will say I was a terrible teen. You know, I was never in jail or nothing like that, but I was terrible. You know, and I know that I was terrible. And now that I have children, I thank God that my children are not the way that I was. And my mama says she's smart, she's cute, but she was terrible. You know, I was the one that gave trouble all the time, and I was the youngest. You know, so I'm going to say that it pays to pay attention and not just open your eyes to what society has to offer you. You know, just pay attention to what your parents are trying to instill on you in such a young age. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're leading you by the example that they're going, don't look to society and let society lead you someplace else because you think it's fun and it's accessible. You know, right. Because it's not. You have to pay attention to your upbringing. Pay attention to your home setting. Pay attention to the older people that are actually trying to bring you into their home and tell you that's not the right thing to do. You know, you need to be home by such and such time. You know, they try to encourage you. Pay attention to it. You know, pay attention and know that in the process of anyone's struggle, that the battle still is not yours. You might think that I have a plan. I know this is, my 5-year plan is this. But at the end of the day, my 5-year plan is completely different because this is what I'm saying in the flesh, but it's not what God's plan is for me. You know, so you can easily determine what your 5-year plan is, but at the end of the day, the battle's not yours. Your path is already designed for you. And if you do your cleansing of your mind and the cleansing of your soul and just sit and do your meditation and get more familiar with the Bible and be around positive people and leave the negative people alone, I think that everything else will come together, because I was the one where I got influenced with the negative and the positive, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of things happened when I was younger, you know, where my best friend got killed and she got stabbed over 100 times. And I ended up taking my daughter and leaving from the town that I was raised in, you know, because I couldn't mentally deal with it. And it was so unfortunate where I couldn't look at these people when the people were so close to me because the town is so small. So I tend to, a doorway was open and I ran to it. You know, I ran to that doorway. But by the time I ran to that doorway, I was already a mother at the age of 15. So therefore, it's like, even though my mom taught me better, guess what? I ended up a mother at the age of 15. And 15, struggling, but not giving up. Still determined that, okay, yes, I'm playing I'm on a basketball team. I'm doing everything in school. I'm doing the best I could do, but I'm still fighting. You know, I'm still fighting in school just because. You know, I'm still picking up stuff, fighting in school just because. So I would just say to stay encouraged. And when you have someone that's in your life that's trying to show you a better way, just please embrace that person. You know, don't turn that person away and say, I know it all. I know it all. I know it all. Because at the end of the day, you don't know it all. And if they thought that you knew it all, they wouldn't be trying to come to you and talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, so my thing is just, you know, stay encouraged. Just stay focused and, you know, just know that you're, at the end, you're destined to do better.
Yeah.
But you have to be a willing participant.
Yeah.
You can't just think that everything's going to be better for you. You have to want it. You have to dream it. You have to praise it. You have to see it. And you have to embrace it.
That's right.
You know, that's what I'm going to say. You know, I try to speak to a lot of young people. And, you know, even when I was younger and I became a teen mother, I tried to sit and, you know, speak to different people and just let them know that, okay, just because you're a teen mother doesn't mean, you know, you don't have to go to school. Or, you know, you can drop out and be on welfare. My thing was, I'm not going to be on welfare. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get me a babysitter. And I'm going to do what I have to do because I felt like I was grown. You know, I'm grown now. I can go to school. I can have my baby. I can get my job. I can do all this stuff. But at the end of the day, I still needed my mom. And I turned my back on my mom because I felt that she didn't know what she was talking about. And in all reality, she knew it all along. And she was trying to guide me in the right direction, and I wasn't listening, you know. But I moved out, you know, didn't go back home for a long time, for many, many years. Didn't go back home at all. And then once I got into a relationship, and I just knew that this was the best relationship of my life, you know, that this was the plan, and that relationship was not the plan. But looking right in front of me, I knew it was the plan. But as I sat and I started to get older and I started to go to church right around the corner from the house, which is something that I took the initiative. The church was right there. So therefore, I had no reason not to be in that church. What was I going to do, sit at home and do nothing? You know, I had no reason not to go. And I just started going a couple Sundays. And then I'm like, you know what? Started meeting women in the church and they just embraced me. And they just said, you know what? You're not as bad as you think you are.
All right.
You can turn your life around right now. This is what you can do. And I let them just guide me into the right direction, but I knew in my heart that God had sent these people to me to save me and to help
him.
You know, so I say to everyone, just stay encouraged, you know, and just make sure that you listen, you pay attention. You know, if it doesn't make sense to you, then sit and you pray on it and see. I mean, you could tell when someone's talking to you and they're not making sense. But if you so hot-headed that you just know in your heart, oh, forget you, I don't want to hear what you got to say, then you're not even thinking about what they're saying, that they could be right.
That's
because
right.
You know it all. And at the end of the day, you don't know it all. There's always room for improvement. You can always live and learn.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to say. We do have a caller that we're going to bring on real fast. Welcome to Teaching Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Yes, hello. This is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I can't help but to think of when I was a young girl and my mother would play this song over and over and over. God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. Ain't no need to run and hide. He knows where you're at. I don't even know who sings that song, but I haven't heard it since I was a little girl. But my mother branded that in my head, that God would, for whatever reason it was when I was younger, I didn't know, you know, what was he going to get me for or whatever. But I knew to fear him at a young age. And whenever I would be around, you know, all the kids that were in the in crowd, and they would be in mischievous, I wouldn't fit in, but I wanted to fit in a way, but I always felt like I couldn't connect with them.
Right.
And then when I kind of got my foot in the little, you know, the little group, I was uncomfortable and I stayed worried about God. That song stayed branded in my head. God's going to get you if you do this. God's going to get you if you do that. There's a reason why I didn't fit in with the in crowd. I always was so different. You know, growing up, I didn't know. But looking back, I'm like, wow, I'm grateful that my mother branded, you know, and instilled in me the love and fear of God. It got me to be the woman that I am today, and I'm grateful that he is in my life. I am so grateful, so grateful. I've been listening to the whole show tonight. It's been a wonderful, wonderful show, and I always say this, ever since I've heard this term, it feels so great to be around kingdom-minded people and listening,
Amen.
Worshiping, and just feeling the spirit of the Lord. And I'm at work right now. I work every Sunday. Both jobs, as a matter of fact. So I'm always on 16 hours on Sunday. But I take the time to listen to the show, and you know, when I can, I give my feedback. I'm just asking, as usual, for y'all to pray for me. I know the word of prayer, and I will continue to pray for you all, and I love you all, and God bless.
Love you, too.
Love you, too. Love you, too. And, of course, we will continue to pray for you. And you know, look, and you know Mama Rachel always had a lesson for us. Always.
Exactly.
Even though we were hard-headed now. But at the end of the day, she always had a lesson, and she's truly wonderful, you know. And it's great when you're around, you know, such powerful people when you're younger and you don't even realize it, you know.
Yeah.
And then once you get older and you start to look back on, wow, you know, I didn't even have to struggle that hard because I had this person there and that person there. You know,
right.
And then, you know, you might have strayed away, but then you always knew that love that they can, you know, that they showed you, you know, continuously was always there.
Yeah, always kept me running back, even when I did go astray and, you know, put a man first or a boy first or, you know, and go on the wrong path. I always ended up just still holding on to God's hand. You know, I had one foot in the door, one foot out the door. I was straddled in the fence, you know.
Ooh.
But it always took me, you know, I always remember to hold on to God's unchanging hand. But I came to a point in my life where I realized that I can't do this. I can't. You know, like the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. For what profit is it to a man if he, you know, gains the world and loses his Well, anyway, I am grateful that I kept holding on. I'm about to stand up. I'm at the desk. I'm locked in the office right now, but I'm about to stand up and just praise him because I'm so grateful. God is good, and I'm so glad that I kept holding on to his unchanging hand, and I'm so grateful that I stopped straddling with him, and I put God first, and I keep him first, and I refuse to do it any other way.
Amen. Amen.
I've taken up enough of y'all's time. I got to get back to the paperwork. I love y'all, and God bless.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. And we all know that, you know, Rachel, like she said, you know, she does her 16 hours, you know, at work and, you know, on every Sunday. And I think she might work like 16 hours almost every day, except for like one, I think. But she's a hard-working woman, you know. She works extremely hard. And, you know, I think at some point in time, we sit, you know, and we talk and we say, you know what, we got to figure out a plan, you know, because this can't really be the plan that is designed for us. This is the plan that we're making acceptable for us, to me, you know. It's the plan that we're making acceptable, but the question is that the plan that's already designed for us? And I find, me personally, I find myself sometimes asking that question, like, is this really supposed to be the plan? Like, am I supposed to work so hard, or, you know, am I supposed to be stressed out with this job? And sometimes I just pray for God to, if this isn't the place for me to be, you know, at my job, just show me a sign. Show me a sign. Because, you know, in your heart, like when you're fed up with the job and you feel like your work is done, you know, you feel it in your heart. But the question is that the sign that was delivered to you?
That's right.
You know, so I go back and forth with it, you know, but I'm you know, I'm young, you know, and with me being young, people say, okay, well, you know, you're young. You still got like 20, 30 years. You know, less to work, you know, before you can retire and all this. And I'm like, listen, I think there's a different plan for me. I don't think my 30, 40 years I'm going to be punching in time clock. I think there's other work, you know, that needs to be done by me. You know, and I believe in my heart, you know, that Rachel, even though there's a storm right now and, you know, the question is, okay, am I drowning? You know, am I still able to look above water? I think that as much as we sit and we pray and we continue to, you know, focus, as I'm going to tell you, Minister Weathersby, with the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I even put that on Rachel's Facebook page the other day. So just as a reminder, you know, to herself, that you have been talking to us about it, you know, and you've been talking to us about it for a while now. And I think that it's past that time to actually, like, sit down and pay attention and just comprehend exactly what the scripture says and be willing to do it and stop fighting with it on a day-to-day basis.
Amen, Sister Lena. As you just said it, I thank God for that, because as I was listening to you, I kept saying Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's it right there. God clearly wants us to be able to do that to Him with all our heart. And when we do that, and don't try to figure it out on our own and what we can come up with, He'll direct our path. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I make it even more comparable for us and say that the steps of a good man and a woman are ordered by the Lord. Because, again, and He delights in their ways. When we allow God to lead and guide us, He is not going to do it. He's not going to send us and put us in situations where we're going to fail or we're not going to we're not going to accomplish those things that He set for us to accomplish. And one of the things that I'm mindful of as well, and I'm, you know, I heard you say that about the your age and the youth. I try to tell people, we want to be clear. Tomorrow is never promised to us. We have a hope that we'll be here for tomorrow, but that's really not to us. That's why we have to live today. The Bible tells us to live today as though it would be our last day. So when God is telling us and He's trying to instruct us and direct us in the way that He wants us to go, we can't put it off for tomorrow. We cannot put it off for tomorrow. We got to do that thing and start doing it today, surrendering today. And I thank God for that. I thank God that, you know, that His message is true. And all we have to do is just speak the word. That's what He told. That's what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Just preach the word. You don't have to do anything else. The word is what will find us. The word is what will convict people, not me, because it ain't about me. But it's all about the message, not the messenger. And I just thank God for that. I just thank God for this opportunity that He affords for us to come here on Spiritual Sunday and just share testimonies and the word of God, and just to encourage people and let them know that, you know, God is truly the answer. To all things that we desire and that we have that pertain to us. We just have to really get in tune with him and get into him. Because in, you know, John 15, the 15th chapter started the first through the several verses. It talks about being the vine, he being the vine, and we're the branches. And that apart from him, we can't do anything. But if you abide in him, then we're going to be fine. He's going to take care of us.
Amen. Amen. We're going to bring on one more caller. Welcome to Geeky Power Spirit for Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
This is Angie.
Hi, Angie.
Hey, Lavina. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good evening, Pastor. I didn't.
I'm sorry. Who are you talking to, sis?
You know, you know she's talking to you. Don't even try it, see?
I'm speaking to everybody, actually, that's on the line or whatever. So.
And within my calling, right, Brother Minister?
Uh-huh.
If you can't say a word, just wave your hands.
You know, God ain't here yet.
We have
McCall.
We have Minister Weathersby on the line, and we have Brother Faith Walker, who's our special guest this evening. We also have Minister Cheryl Miller. Rachel was on air a little while ago. Would you like to say your testimony or say what you're thankful for?
Well, I'm just thankful for the Lord for who He is. Okay, I thank Him for loving me when I don't even love myself, and for Him just being so faithful. And I heard just a little bit. I didn't really hear the show. I'm just coming on. And it's funny because my daughter and I were in church today. So she's like, it felt like the pastor was just speaking directly to me. I said, no, sweetheart, that's the word. That's what the word does. It'll point you out without anybody even knowing that it's talking to you. You understand what I'm saying? And I said, the same way that you feel, there's somebody else in here that feels the same way. Because, again, that's what the word does. It'll convict you. It'll show you things. It'll reveal itself to you if you're paying attention. So the more you study, the more you want about. But it's all for the better for us. You understand what I'm saying? It's not so you could be afraid to do anything. The Lord wants us to have joy because God is love. You understand what I'm saying? And love is not hurtful. Love is not any of that negative things that people think that love is. Oh, love hurts. And no, that's not what love is. That's not what God is. So, you know, I was actually grateful for that because for her to actually see it means the word is actually manifesting somewhere in her. It's manifesting somewhere in her life. And she's 20 years old, so she's at a point now where You're gonna be this ultimate woman one day that's gonna have to take care of herself or her family one of these days if that's what's in God's plans for her. And
Amen.
you wanna be ready when that time comes.
That's right.
And now's the time for you to prepare yourself. You have to be ready. You have to be ready. So I thank God for that on today, you know. And you know, I've just been spending a lot more time praying now, not even just for myself, just, you know, for the natural disasters that are going on, that people will actually still see the light in these things, you know, and still be able to give God his glory. And, you know, I pray that they're not cursing him in any way and asking why. Because, again, like in the book of Job, he gives Job accolades and Job is asking why throughout the entire book. And guess what? The answer is still, it's still no answer to that question why. Sometimes you won't know an answer. Just know that God does everything for the good. So, you know, I just want to, you know,
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord on today.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
And just, I didn't know if you had a specific topic that you were speaking on or whatever.
Well, what we did is we kind of went first everyone was sharing their testimonies, and Minister Weathersby, he touched on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and also Matthew 6, and then we also went to Romans as well. So we covered a couple of scriptures tonight as a whole.
Okay.
So pretty much Minister Weathersby has been talking to us about Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and trusting the Lord with all your might.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6?
Yeah, he has been talking to us about it for a long time. And some of us, you know, didn't exactly take heed to it. you know, where Minister Miller, he picked up to it right away, you know, and they're actually talking about it right now with her church. So, you know, she was able to touch on it as well.
Okay.
But the question that I did ask was, what would you say about your testimony that could save someone else that could be listening and going through a similar testimony, have a similar testimony like yours?
Well, you know, I'm not really sure. I don't know if I understand the question fully, but if you think of
your testimony, right? Let's just say the testimony that you have in your heart and in your mind of your lifelong story of what made you the person that you are today, right? And if you have encountered any type of struggles in your life that you could say, well, you know what, that's my testimony. What would you take out of your life experience that you have just thus far? What would you say to someone else that could encourage them?
Oh, as far as my testimony is just receiving Christ as your Savior and knowing that, again, He's there for you 24/7, 365 days. Because let me tell you, a lot of times I used to beat myself up and I was like, you know what, the Lord doesn't want anything to do with me because of the wretched man that I am.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? So I was totally wrong on that. He wants people like me to come to Him, to humble ourselves, and that's one thing a lot of people don't know how to do is humble themselves, because now you believe in that you can fight these demons on your own, and you can't do it. You can't do it. You're digging yourself deeper and deeper and deeper into this hole, and saying, "Oh well, I'm gonna handle it. I'll take care of this." No, you're wrong. The Lord's gonna take care of it.
That's right.
We have to humble ourselves. We're like, listen, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I need your help. I need you, Lord. I need your wisdom on today.
That's right.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And see, a lot of times people, what they're looking for is to walk out of their front door and see Jesus Christ standing right there on the porch. People don't understand. He lives through us.
That's right. Amen.
He lives through us. So we do have to be these powerful people. We do have to be in the likeness of Him. So that way He can put us in a position where we can help somebody else, where you can use my testimony without any kind of offense. So, you know, it took me to actually believe that. I had to believe that Christ is there. He's my Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
And part of what you just said, this sounds like Proverbs 3:5-6.
Oh, really?
Amen. And we thank God. I mean, I love that. And then you also talk about the love of God, which is what we have to understand. The love of God differs from the love that we have.
Mm-hmm.
God's love is the one that doesn't injure, doesn't hurt. His is unconditional.
Unconditional. Amen.
The agape love of God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
When you become a believer, you take on that characteristic, that attribute of God, because the Spirit of God lives in you.
Mm-hmm.
And it affords you and enables you to operate under the agape level.
Oh, your sister's
one.
Amen. Again, like I said, just looking to, you know, oh, I'm going to go outside, I'm going to see Jesus Christ standing on the porch. Then you're going to, no, listen, you just get on your, get that quiet moment to yourself and get your meditation going, or, you know, however it is, you know, and just know that he's there at 24/7, you know, and, you know, going through a situation now with a family member of mine where, you know, she was going on Facebook and was like, oh, I need somebody to talk to and whatever. I said, listen, the one you need to talk to is there already.
You
humble yourself and you talk to him. You cry to him. You let whatever it is you're feeling, you could talk to him just like you're talking to me. And trust me, he hears you. He and not only that, he can give you help that none of us can.
That's right. He
can give you that peace that none of us can. He can give you what he does things. He goes above and beyond what we can do.
That's right.
So, and a lot of times, sometimes us as humans, we don't even really need to say anything. You just need to listen sometimes, you know. We can't solve everybody's problems and stuff like that. We just need to listen, you know. And I was at that point one time where I thought I could just help everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I said, uh-uh. My pastor taught me, he was like, listen, you cannot save the world. You understand what I'm saying? If you're there to just listen and, you know, just let them know that you're there for them, just to listen, if that's all they need, then that's all it is. You're not that ultimate healer. That, you know, I don't hold that power. I don't possess that power, you know. So the Lord has his way of putting everything and everyone in its place.
That's right.
Amen.
In his due time.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I think the thing that's important to know is that we as the servants of God, you know, we don't have the answers in the capacity of ourselves, because if we say that, then we'd be clearly yielding to our flesh. But God has given us the Holy Spirit that can lead others to the answer by the anointing to His Holy Scriptures, His Holy Scriptures. You know, I don't have no answers. But it's just that if God lays it on my heart and reveals certain things to me, I can say, okay, well, brother, go to this scripture right here and see what the Lord is saying to your heart on this area. And then God began to work in that area. That's the Word doing the work. But a lot of times we want the blessing of God, but we don't want to let go the mess that we find ourselves in. See, if I had my way, and I'm just going to be transparent right now. I'm just going to be brutally transparent right now. If I had my way, I'd be sitting up here with a blunt in my mouth, okay, and a beer in my lap, just being brutally honest. I'm a man of God, okay, and I probably would have a woman by my side. But because through a lot of hardships and because a lot of things that I suffer by trying to do it my way and not the way of God, it released a lot of things in my life. So you got to come to a point where you get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Amen.
You got to say, well, why, you know, if I'm tired of the fish I'm catching, what bait am I using?
Oh,
so I had to, as a man of God, I had to begin to examine myself. I had to really check myself years ago and said, okay, why am I attracting these type of individuals? What bait am I using to attach these kind of individuals to my life? And then I got to be careful who speak into my life. You don't have the authority to speak into my life. And so you got to realize that people who walk with you, they have to be anointed to walk with you. You just can't invite people into your life. I had to learn that the hard way. You can't invite people to your life, because when you invite people to your life, you're inviting that spirit into your life too. So if they're dealing with sex and perversion and the lust and all of those things, then you don't even have to sleep with them. But that spirit could be operating in your household, and you never slept with them. You understand what I'm saying? So it's important that the people that we link ourselves up with, has to have a prayer life, have to have a relationship to God. Not talk godly, not talk all the words that again, go ahead, keep preaching. Not none of that, but to have a relationship with God that when I'm going through 2 o'clock in the morning time and I'm living holy and I'm holding on, and I say, sister, do you understand what I'm going through right now? I'm just trying to get this thing right. Who can I call on? Can I call on Pastor? If I can't reach Pastor, Pastor, you're supposed to be in the spirit. Why can't I reach you, Pastor? You know, you don't get no days off. You know,
that's right.
As a servant of God, you don't never get no days off. You get 24 hours a day. Matter of fact, it's 25 hours a day. Okay?
Amen.
You don't get no days off as a servant of God. I didn't sign up for this. You understand what I'm saying? We got to recognize that we are servants of God to the people of God. And if you're going through a situation, just examine yourself first and then examine those who are around you, and I guarantee you, you'll come to the heart of the answer. Then once you come to the heart of the answer, do something about it. Don't make excuses. Don't say mama, daddy, sister, brother, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, whoever. Just say, it's me. It's me with the problem. So now let me do something about it so I can get a different result.
It's me, oh Lord, standing
in
me.
That's right.
That's right.
Man.
Got me singing tonight, Sabrina.
I don't mind.
Well, that's what he, like you said, we have to examine ourselves.
That's right.
We have to examine ourselves first. You know, because again, you can't be a help to anybody else, and yourself is a wreck.
That's right.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
be honest with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes. But you know what? God takes wrecks. You know why God uses wrecks, though? Oh, come on now, somebody. God uses wrecks. See, I almost said amen right now. The Holy Ghost said, huh, when you say amen, boy, you a wreck. So let me tell you something. Okay, God will use a wreck. Because you know why? Because when God used that wreck, man can't say, I did it. I did it. God said, I did it. So now I get the glory. Because what you deem impossible, I say with God all things are possible.
That's right.
So it's by God that will take something that society deem unusable, that society has cursed, that God, it says, no way. You know, even in my situation, God, they say, he can never come back from that. He can never come back from that. But the man Jesus Christ, the mediator, the high priest, son of God, he said, yes, I'll put my spirit in you. And I said, God, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. All God is looking for, just like that song by Shekinah Glory. All God has wanted, yes. We sing that song. Oh, God, yes, yes, yes. But then we go out and we do the things that we do. We say the things that we say. But God is looking for people who will say yes and then yield themselves as instruments of righteousness. And then it feels good in church. It feels good in church. I mean, the music's going and everything. You know, we're looking nice. And then after church is over with, we go to Ryan's or Golden Corral and all of that stuff. We come back home and we're defeated. We're lonely. We're crying in a pillow. Or we'll call somebody else to comfort us. Because really, it's not about the relationship that God, we know it's not of God, but it's just because, God, I want somebody to understand me. I want somebody just to love me. But God said, I will love you. I will love you. He said, come to me that all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. You really desiring rest. That's what you want. You want rest for your soul. He said, I got that. He said, I got that.
Yeah.
So that's all God wants in Jesus' name.
That's all he wants. And he also wants us to do like Sister Angie was talking about, doing that self-examination of ourselves and just asking a simple question. What if, and there's a song that says, what if God is not pleased with my praise? What if he's not pleased with the way I worship him?
What if it's not enough?
You know what? Here's the key. We cannot do enough on our own. That's why we have to continue to yield to him. Because on our own, we can't do it. We cannot do enough. There's no way that we could ever measure up to the measure of God's love and what he's done for us. But what we can do is just continue to yield to him, subjugate ourselves to him, and go through that process that Brother Minister talked about, the sanctification process, and allow the Spirit of God to transform us. And this song that Brother Tone sang back in the day says, Lord, make me over.
I want to be made over.
Make me over.
Mm. I'm telling you.
Amen. Go through it.
Yes.
Wow. But it needs to be made whole. Not just the Bible depicted, has a story about a man that was afflicted for 38 years with infirmity. And he would be brought down to the pool at Bethesda at a certain time of the year. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord would come down and trouble the waters, and anybody that got in there quick, fast, in a hurry got healed. But for 38 years, that man was brought to the pool, but he didn't get in the pool. And Jesus came upon him and said, and looked at him and said, what's going on? He gave the story. He said, Jesus asked him this simple question, would you be made whole? He didn't ask him about being healed. He said, would you be made whole? And then he told him, rise, take up your bed and walk. The symbolism of this here particular scripture is this, that for 38 years, this man was looking for somebody to help him and get him into the pool. And people were stepping all over him, jumping in the pool, getting healed. But Jesus Christ came and he provided what nobody else could do. He provided a special type of healing for us that goes beyond our bodily healing. Yes, by his stripes we are healed, but it's more than just the physical healing that we needed. We need to be made whole. We need to be made whole again. In that, everything will be taken care of. Physical healing, mental healing, whatever it is, Proverbs, Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, talks about it very succinctly and clearly. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and confess their sins and repent, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Everything that pertains to us. But we got to be honest. We have to be honest. Confess and we have to repent that thing. Not just by lip service, but godly repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have the spirit of King David, where the Bible says that King David was a man after God's own heart. I was telling a group today, this afternoon, and ministering to them about, here's the significance of what King David made him a man after God's own heart. Anytime you look at the story of David in the Bible, where he transgressed against the Lord, and his sin was made known unto him, he confessed it, he repented of it. And nowhere else in the Bible where it talks about King David do you ever hear an account of him doing that same thing again. That's godly repentance. That's what Jesus told several people when he healed them from certain things that he was dealing with them, whether he healed them from physical or delivered them from demons. Go your way and sin no more. That thing I just healed you or delivered you from, don't do it again. Don't do it again. No, you are not that you will never sin, because sin is ever before us. We live in the flesh. But if God delivers us from a sin, and we know we've been delivered, then we have the responsibility to not to do it again. Because the Bible says this, those that fail to do what is right, and they know what to do is right, you're going to be whooped with many stripes. Many stripes.
Amen. Amen. I must say, it was definitely a wonderful show. A wonderful show. I truly enjoyed myself.
Praise the Lord. How's that headache?
My headache is gone this evening. Let me tell
I
you.
Hear that.
Look, I had it before the show, and I was seeing my little spots and stuff before the show, but I feel good.
I know. I've been having a headache, too. The sinuses are crazy, but I ain't claiming that either.
All right. The power of God.
Amen.
Yes. It's just, you know, the Lord just wants everybody to live that life that He created us to live.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, again, people nowadays with the how the world is being ran with technology and all kinds of stuff, you don't think that you need Him. Oh, I can go on there. I can Google it. I ain't worried about nothing. I can go buy it. I have enough money to do whatever I want to do. Even if it's going above the law, I have enough money to do so. And when natural disaster strikes, then people don't know. Like my pastor was saying, he said when there's good times and all that stuff, God has to use a bullhorn. But when there's tragedy strikes, all he has to do is whisper.
Right.
Because again, us down here on earth think that we got it all in control.
I'm.
You know, and then now they try to make man's law above the Lord. So you already know that's an abomination. You know, people get sued because you don't agree with my sexuality and. All kinds of stuff is just mere travesty.
My. It's awesome that you said that, sis. I had that in the message that I gave people this afternoon that I took from the message that God gave me when I preached my initial sermon some 11 years and almost 9 months ago next week, Is He In You? And I was talking about the mindset that we have, because we've evolved. In our evolution as man, we've come to certain things and understanding, and we've even designed how we should live our lives. And you know, people are applauding and commending two people. I cited two public people, sport figures. One is an NBA current NBA player, Jason Collins, and then another is this young child that just came out of college as a female from Baylor University, now playing in the WNBA for the Phoenix Mercury, Brittany Griner. And they came out of the closet. Mm-hmm. And people are applauding them for that.
Mm-hmm.
And commending them for having the courage to do that. I'm sorry. The Bible is very clear about that. Not create man and woman to lay down with man, with a man laying down with a man and a woman laying down with a woman. The Bible says it's an abomination unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the social mores say. I don't care what the laws of the country may say or the human rights may say about that. But when you start talking to me and try to tell me that sin, that wrong is right, I'm sorry. I'm standing on the word of God. God says, now get this. He ain't hating the people, but
right.
His lifestyle. That's what's an abomination. That lifestyle is an abomination unto the Lord. And I'm sorry. We're too much. There's too much of compromising. I tell people straight up, no compromising in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
There's no compromising in the faith.
Right. There's no second guessing when it comes to the Lord.
No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changes not. Neither does he. He says, in my word, that thing will accomplish. It will accomplish in the things that I sent it to, prosper in the things that I sent it to do. It will not return unto me void. It will not come to be back to me saying it's insufficient.
Well, you know, people nowadays are just looking for acceptance from society, which, again, society is really nothing society can do for you.
Well, that's the sign of the last and evil days. Brother Minister talked about the discernment that we must have. These wonders and signs that are happening, national disasters, the strange upheaval of the weather patterns and everything else that's going on, are the signs of the time. He's soon to return. And like what you made mention of about looking for Jesus, be standing on the porch, I will tell people this. If that happens, it's too late for you if you're not right.
It's too late.
It's too late. Jesus, wake up one day and you see Jesus, guess what? The dead in Christ are going to rise, and they that remain that are in the Lord are going to be caught up to meet with him in the air. Those that are not, oh boy, it's too late.
Amen.
Yep.
It's too late. Well, I don't want Log Talk to cut us off where we did go a little past time this evening, but it's all right. Right. So we've come to that hour where we're going to end in prayer. But before
Amen.
We end in prayer, does anyone have any announcements that they'd like to share, that they'd like to, you know, the followers and listeners and to support them in?
Well, Sister Lavina, I'm going to wait till you prompt me. I just thank the Lord for what he's doing. As everyone knows that have heard me, I've written two books. Very short and brief, but, you know, I thank God the Spirit of God was operating. Unless God builds the house, which focuses on relationship building, primarily marriages. And then on the second one is Check the DNA, What Happens If We Are Family, which deals with family relationships. And in both of those books, I identify the direct correlation that exists between what God expects in a relationship between us and him and in those two relationships between us. Marriages and families. And clearly, when you look at the Word of God, if you're not doing it right in your marriages, if you're not doing it right in your families, you're not doing it right with the Lord. And both of those books can be picked up from my publisher, which is a Christian self-publishing company, ZulonPress.com, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, GoogleBooks.com, ChristianBooks.com, and BooksAMillion.com. And if anybody ever wants to utilize me to come there and speak to a group or church or whatever, I'm willing to do that. I'm not looking to charge nobody fees or anything because I don't believe in that. I know that God will bless us when we do the work for him. I don't do what I do to minister because I'm looking for financial gain. But I'll be more than willing. All I have to do is inbox me on Facebook. And the minister, Arthur L. Weathersby, that's how I can be found on Facebook.
Amen. Amen. We always, and I always put them on the spot every time. Every single week. Every week I say the same thing. Every week I say the same thing, you know, because I think you're working on another book, aren't you?
I am. God has given me an inspiration to do another one, so I'm just waiting until the appropriate time. And the way he works with me, all he does is give me the inspiration for it. Once I devote the time and sit down to do it, and he just flows. I thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. All right. So is that, did anyone else have any announcements that they wanted to share? No. Okay. So with that being said, I just want to definitely thank everyone for joining us. Like I said in the beginning part of the show, we did miss everyone. We did have our church's 82nd church's anniversary last Sunday. That's why we weren't on the air. But we're definitely here this Sunday tonight, and we'll be here next Sunday as well. And hopefully, God willing, we will be here every Sunday from this point on. But
yeah,
it was definitely a wonderful show. A special thanks to Brother Faith Walker.
Amen.
Who will be having a show airing on GQ Palette, I believe, after Spiritual Sunday, right, Brother Walker?
Yeah, next week.
That, now, didn't I just say anybody had any announcements? I said that right. And you were
yeah,
so
you,
quiet.
You had somebody
yeah,
else.
He said that quiet. Quiet.
I was soaking up all this food. I was soaking up all this food that was going forth tonight. I was, you know, I was, yeah, but I was, you know, praise God. Yeah, the Crossroad Temple be in next week after Sister Lavina's show, Spiritual Sunday. Definitely check that out. Going to be interviewing a lot of gospel artists, underground, you know, quartets, gospel rap. We're going to be talking about a lot of topics. We're coming outside of the four walls, so you definitely tune in for that.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And, of course, that is next week, Sunday, from 9 to 10. So please make sure that everyone does support the show as well. Looking forward to it. Special thanks to, actually, even though we don't usually do it on Sunday, but Angie is one of the newest members to be the squad on Wednesday.
Yay.
Hey. And we want to definitely congratulate her and welcome to GQ Palace as well. We welcome everyone. And look, while we have everybody on the line, you know that Minister Cheryl Miller is a part of GQ Palace, Minister Weatherman is a part of GQ Palace, you know, so
there's the whole GQ Palace family going on.
We have family and GQ Palace is all family. And Rich, you know, I know you're listening. You know, so I don't know why Rich didn't press the one button, I'm just saying. But I know he's listening. Rich, you know, so even though there's 6 minutes left, Rich, it would be nice for him to press the one button. So
one
of us. Yeah, I put him on the spot, right?
Yeah, you did.
I know. But he doesn't mind. He just gonna move slow and make me wait until like 2 minutes before I call the door. Before he comes on the air. So, hi, Rich.
Have mercy.
Hi, Rich.
Have mercy.
He seems moving real slow. Hi, Rich.
I appreciate you putting me on the spot now. Hello, everybody.
How you doing, Rich?
All right. I just want to thank all y'all for being part of the GQ College family. My testimony is just to be waking up in the morning. You know, having Lavina by my side has been a rough time, but she put me in the spot, so I'm going to make this a show because she put me in the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Always there for me. Minister Weatherby, you always there for me. I know I haven't been calling you. I know you're going to bid on me. Ooh, I think the dog is upset at me now, too, because he doesn't talk in my ear.
Hey, as soon as you made that declaration, the dog stood up.
You see that? As soon as I said that, he started barking.
I'm sorry, that was my dog.
Oh, we know. You be hearing all
yeah, peace of work.
But, you know, I want to thank God for waking me up this morning. I want to thank all y'all for being a part of it. It means a lot. But there'll be no GQ College if it wasn't for y'all. And we're definitely going to keep it going. You know, we're working on some things. I'm even trying to get people like Isaac in here, and I know somebody that knows TDJ. So I'm trying. We're trying to get it like really out there with everything. But,
and you will.
Amen.
I'm really thinking there's no weapon formed against all y'all should prosper. I really appreciate
it. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming on sale. Yes, sir. Thank you. Had to put you on the spot. Sorry about that.
You're not sorry. You wanted to do that, Lavina. We know.
I sure did, right? I sure did. I can't even pretend. But we do have like 3 minutes left. So with that being said, we do welcome everybody to Jesus Palace. And, you know, we are all family here. And it just feels good to come together, you know, on one accord and just really just truly just do God's work and just enjoy the spirit and just feel full at the end of the day, because I know I was at work all day today and I told Minister Weathersby, I need to hear the word, I'm sorry, you know, and I don't mind telling anybody, I need to hear it. I don't need to sit and read it, I need to hear it. I need to hear it come out. And when Minister Weathersby said, don't say that, I said, no, I'm saying it. I need it. I'm serious, you know.
Yes.
And
yes.
I just want to say that everyone truly delivered tonight, and a special thank you to Minister Weathersby for definitely, you know, you said don't say it, but then I said it, and you delivered, and I'm thankful. You know, I'm truly thankful. And Brother Walker, it's always an honor, and you're part of the Jesus Palace family now, so. You know, congratulations. And of course, Minister Cheryl Miller, who is going to end out in prayer for us. It's always amazing. It's always an honor just to be with you and, you know, to speak to you throughout the week and speak to you on Spiritual Sunday. It just feels great. And, you know, we're looking forward to your 30th birthday. You know, if you need some more information, you know, we're definitely looking forward to it. So if you would like to end out in prayer for us this evening, it's greatly appreciated.
Yes, ma'am. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're just truly grateful, God, for your goodness and your kindness, your tender mercy. God, we're just truly grateful for your great love, for the many blessings, dear God, that you continue to bestow upon us. We ask you, Lord, to please forgive us for all of our sins and all of our shortcomings, because, God, we definitely fall short of your glory. But we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When we realize that we are wrong and you are right, you are more than able and capable to make us and mold us, Father, into what you have called us and ordained for us to be. God, we thank you for this time and this opportunity. We thank you for the word of God that was brought forth, oh God. We thank you for allowing us to be able to fellowship with one another on one accord, with one mind and one purpose, and that is to lift your holy and righteous name up. And, Father, we just pray for all of the callers and all of the listeners, Lord, even the spiritual leaders who gave of their time this evening. We ask you to bless them in a special way, that you will continue to encourage their hearts, that, Lord, you will continue to lead God and direct them in the way that they should go. Father, I just pray for all of those who are standing in need of prayer. I pray for my dear sister Lavina, as well as Brother Rich. We pray in Jesus' name that you would just continue to have your way in their lives. We just pray, oh God, that you would just lead God and direct them in the way that they should go. We pray, oh God, that you will order their steps, that you would just be glorified in them and through them, that you would continue to use them for your service and for your glory. God, we even pray for Debbie. We pray for Sister Rachel, God. We pray for Kent, dear God. We pray, Father God, that you would just have your way in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you would just continue to bless Minister Weathersby. We pray in Jesus' name that you, Lord, would continue to be glorified in him and through him, that you would continue to use him as a willing vessel. Oh God, we pray, oh God, that you would continue to touch his body. In the name of Jesus, we again pray for Brother Rich, that you will continue to touch his body. Continue, oh God, to have your way in your life. Continue to prove yourself mighty and strong on his behalf. And again, we pray for all of those who called in, every single leader. We pray, oh God, that you would just help us to lean not into our own understanding, but in all thine way, help us, dear God, to acknowledge you so that you may direct our path. Father, we even pray that you will help us to wait on you and be of good courage, oh God, in those difficult times, because you said that we wait on you and be of good courage, that you will strengthen our hearts. God, we pray that you will bless us, Father God, even this week, for we have no idea We have no clue, Father God, as what this week is going to hold. But, Father, we're leaning and depending on you. Help us, Lord, to seek your face each and every day for direction and strength. Help us, oh God, to just put you first, oh God, so that you can have your way in our lives, so that you may be glorified in our lives as well. God, we thank you in advance for what you're doing, what you're going to do. And we pray that you will continue to bless GQ radio station, oh God. We just pray, Father God, that you will just have your way. We pray that many people will be blessed, encouraged, oh God, delivered and set free, oh God, from what is being said. God, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed
amen.
Day,
amen.
Everyone.
You as well.
We look forward to speaking to everyone next week, Sunday, at the same time at 7 o'clock. And then following Spiritual Sunday, we do have the Facebook show that's going to be starting at 9. So everyone have a blessed and safe week, and speak to you guys on Sunday. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye.
Amen.
Of life.